MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Tuesday, April 30, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage and communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Two North Shore schools were in lockdown yesterday. Peabody is now a green community. And we have school news from Danvers and Gloucester.
I'm Bill Newell. And later in sports, a note from high school baseball and more. Rick?
Okay, Bill, thank you. Showers near 50, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 5.05 p.m. Two North Shore schools went into lockdown yesterday, Kipp Academy in Lynn and Marblehead High School. At Kipp, an 18-year-old student was arrested after allegedly stabbing a staff member at the school. The student was arrested a short way away from the school. According to the Daily Item, the staff member went to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. WCVB-TV is reporting that the staff member is an assistant principal who confronted the suspect regarding a vaping incident at the school. In Marblehead, yesterday at around 2 p.m., the Item reports that a threat was called into police forcing the school into lockdown. No threat was found, and students were released by 3 p.m. The city of Peabody is now a green city. It took 15 years, but it has happened.
Late communication one is some very good news from the Commonwealth Department of Energy Resources. It is our formal notification that PBD has received designation as a green community.
That's Peabody Ward 2 City Councilor Peter McGinn. Caroline Enos reports this week in the Salem News that Peabody was awarded just over $271,000. McGinn told the city council last week that the city will have projects ready for this money to fund.
Hopefully we can move relatively swiftly on that. And we also, it's to our in our best interest that we get through those projects swiftly, because you have to spend all the money before you can get into the competitive rounds for additional funding. So it's kind of a treadmill from this point on.
Peabody Ward 2 City Councilor Peter McGinn speaking at last week's council meeting that aired on Peabody Community TV. The Linfield Town Meeting approved its fiscal 2025 $69 million budget last night. The Daily Item reports that Town Meeting also approved the creation of a Traffic Safety Advisory Committee that would report to the Select Board and evaluate public safety and traffic issues. Today is Election Day in Swampscott. There are two candidates running for one open Select Board seat. The candidates are Katie Arrington and Danielle Leonard. In the past few weeks, we've been following North Shore school budget issues. Many of those news items have dealt with planning for the next fiscal year. In Danvers at last night's school committee meeting, the school department's director of finance, Pamela Crum, gave a budget update on this year's budget that has two shortfalls.
One is that in the case of the tuitions, special ed tuitions, that it is now reflecting the $80,000 that the consortium was going to be seeking to improve their, to complete their HVAC project that they, Dan has been speaking about, superintendents are speaking about for some months now. So that is now reflected. Those bills did come in from them. And then the other piece is that the homeless and foster transportation line is continuing to grow, but a lot of that is going to be offset with the emergency assistance funding that is coming from the state. So I'll be able to shift that over. It was just that funding wasn't there at the very outset of the year. So it'll be part of closer to the year-end closeout that those deficits go.
Crum told the committee that the latter budget concern should not be a concern once state reimbursements come into the district. The entire school committee meeting can be viewed on Danvers Community Access TV. Michael Jarvis is the Gloucester Public Schools new director of special education. Jarvis is a graduate of Gloucester High School and has served as director of student services for the Pentucket Regional School District. Ethan Foreman of the Gloucester Times reports that Jarvis will replace outgoing director Katie Provost. And Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr spoke to MSO News recently about Right Whale Day and what it means.
Right Whale Day is a great story of citizen lobbying and how one person can make a difference. So a gentleman from the South Shore had been over the last several years learning more and more about the plight of the North Atlantic right whale, which, as you know, is an endangered species. There are less than 400 of them left in existence. But what you may not be aware of is that there is a period of time, and we're in it right now in the spring, where the majority, if not the entirety, of the population of right whales on this earth are in the waters off Massachusetts, either in Massachusetts Bay or in the coastal waters adjacent to Massachusetts Bay, and even a little further north, up our way, off of Cape Ann. And so realizing that special obligation that we have to this species, a gentleman from the South Shore, again, decided to lobby and say that Massachusetts should have a law that establishes right whale day to recognize the importance of the species and the importance of our efforts to conserve and protect it. And a couple of years ago, that law passed. It was sponsored by my friend and former colleague, Josh Cutler. And Josh was the co-chair, the House chair of the Coastal Caucus. I am the Senate co-chair. We were able to get that bill done. And since then, the New England Aquarium has been hosting celebrations of Right Whale Day. And that's what just recently occurred. And Rick, I think it's important to stress, not only do we celebrate the day, and that's important, but I took advantage of that day to talk about the things that we've actually been able to do to protect right whales. And some of these things you and I have discussed in the past, things like I was able to include money to create a grant program for our lobster fishers to be able to buy new gear that's needed and now required to protect right whales, like rope that breaks at a particular tension or links in the rope that break. So if a whale is entangled and expresses a certain amount of tension on the line breaks, certain kinds of buoys and other things. I was able to do that with tremendous bipartisan support from my colleagues in the House and the Senate. We've also been funding directed patrols by the environmental police. And when that happens, the environmental police try to find out where the whales are and make sure that safety zones are enforced around them, because strikes with vessels are one of the ways that right whales can be threatened.
Senator Tarr is also promoting more legislation designed to protect whales and other species from being entangled in abandoned fishing gear. Bill Newell on sports next, followed by North Shore Today Extra, as we'll hear from Danvers School Superintendent Dan Bauer on the district's strategic plan.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute, cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved-out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three, and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States, and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports, bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics beat the Miami Heat last night, 102-88. They go up in the series now 3-1. The Bruins return to the Garden tonight for Game 5 of their playoff series with the Maple Leafs. The Bruins lead that series 3-1. The Bees could close it all out tonight. The Red Sox open up a series tonight against the Giants. For those regular listeners of our podcast, yesterday we mentioned that that series was to start last night. We apologize for our error. Again, the Giants and Red Sox, Game 1 of that series is tonight. In North Shore sports yesterday in high school baseball, St. Mary's shut out Masconomets 1-0, and St. John's Prep beat Malden Catholic 4-3. And in softball, Beverly beat Peabody 4-3 to improve to 7-0 on the season. The North Reading baseball team is 6-3. A big win for the Hornets this year, Here is their coach, Eric Archambault.
Yeah, I mean, there was one big one early on. We were playing Pawtucket in a home game, and we got down 7-0 after two innings. And it was, one thing about our team that you may not know is we actually have zero seniors this year. So it's all freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. And as you know from last year, we had a very strong senior class with leadership with the likes of, like, Alex Carucci and Craig Rubino and Ryan McGuire and kids like that, Aldo Matosi, kids like that. So we knew there'd be a little bit leadership void that we'd have to fill. And one of our questions coming into the year was how we would do that. And the kids have just responded so well. One of my concerns coming in was just how a young team would respond to adversity if you kind of have to face that early in the season. And we got that opportunity against Pawtucket down 7-0, and the kids never flinched. We knew we could come back and win it, and we ended up winning 8-7 on a walk-off hit by sophomore Ethan Kwan, and it was just awesome. It was one of those Cary Park magical games, so all the excitement, the crowds going nuts, and it was a really cool experience.
This week, North Reading will play at Newburyport today at 4:30, Thursday at Rockport at 6:30 p.m., and then they are home on Saturday to host Essex Tech at 2. Coach Archambault on today's Newburyport matchup.
Newburyport's just, they're always a really, really good team. I know they have a new coach this year, Mark Rowe, retired last year, who was a great coach, but I'm not familiar with their new coach, but he seems to be doing a very nice job over there, and they're always very talented. It's a great, it's a great baseball program year in and year out, and anytime we go into their place, it's going to be a battle, and it's going to be a tough, anytime you can sneak out of there with a win, you'll take it, so we know it will be a tough battle.
This is North Shore Today, giving voice to the North Shore, the area's only daily news and sports podcast. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, hoping you have a great Tuesday. North Shore Today Extra is next with Danvers School Superintendent Dan Bauer.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
This is North Shore Today Extra. This is an extended audio clip as we give voice to the North Shore from Danvers School Superintendent Dan Bauer speaking at last night's school committee meeting, which aired on Danvers Community Access TV. So this is Superintendent Bauer talking about the strategic plan. He's in his first year as superintendent in the district as he discusses the planning and the process for developing a strategic plan for the Danvers Public Schools.
In May, I will share the entry findings, which will come as a result of the entry plan from the meetings, listening sessions, document analysis. There's quite a bit to report on, as you can imagine. There's been a lot in our district going on, a lot of great things, and a lot of areas that we have for growth. So I'll present all that in May, the entry report. And then that will dovetail very well into the strategic plan, which the strategic plan itself, should start to launch right after the entry plan is presented. So we're looking at a May and then really turning into a June launch of the strategic plan. And the model we're looking at for strategic plan, and I can present this in more detail, but it's really a model that I know has been used in other districts. And it's a model that is important because I think looking at the strategic plan, we want to make it so that we have a variety of stakeholders that have input mm-hmm. to the strategic plan. We need to basically boil it down. And I think the biggest part of any type of strategic plan is how can we make it actionable? How can we make it something that's not going to sit on the desk and looked at once a year? That's not what we want. We really want it so that when we get moving, that again, all the stakeholders are involved, but really it's just working on our vision as well as our mission, reviewing that, but getting the whole community to collaborate to help set the vision. And then really utilizing the school committee, district leaders, and educators then to take that vision and really pare down to the strategy to pursue, and then looking at the educators and staff to design and implement measurable tactics. And I think the important piece of that is involving all stakeholders. So the community sets the vision, which I think is critical. Many different stakeholders. Because really, it's like, what is the vision for our schools, not just for the next year, but the next 3 years, and even moving it down to 5 years. And then from that point, how can we make it operational, again, with our school committee leaders and educators identifying these strategies to really pinpoint let's take these strategies and let's drill down deeper. And then how can we get these strategies implemented that are measurable? Because I think that's the big thing when you look at any type of strategic plan. What are the metrics we measure success? So really, it's a three-step process. Step one will be a series of focus groups. And again, starting at the end of May and through June is a good time just to really establish those. And the work can go through the summer and into the fall with gathering this information, because that's really important, is to define that vision and really pinpoint that vision of a learner, really the vision of a graduate. What do we see our students when they leave our schools? What should they be able to do? And then step two is from that visioning sessions, all those sessions, stakeholders, we come together and identify 3 to 5 key strategies to guide the district and provide that direction. And then step three is really taking the vision and strategies that set the direction for school improvement plan and educator goals. And I think that piece is critical. We'll talk more about that as we get into May and get ready to launch. But I like it because it really gives the varied levels where it can start to plug into and make it actionable, not only with our improvement plans at the district and building level, but getting into educator goals as well. And it's really a collaborative process. So I'm looking forward to launching this. Mm-hmm. Again, that will take place. We'll talk more about it in detail in May, but really get the work going in June after the entry plan results are released. And that's it.
Quick question, Dan. Do you plan on using, you know, in the past, I've seen it done with third-party consultants come in and kind of lead the process, or is your plan just to, you know, use the administrative team to do that?
Well, that's a great question. I just like anything else, I'm looking to have some help from the outside, but not a consulting firm or I'm looking for educators that have done this, and I have an educator that has done this in a district and has had success with this.
Okay.
And we sat down, Mary and myself sat down, and actually I may have him come to our next meeting in May to talk more in detail, because I really want to put a plan into place that, you know, I think the worst thing is to create a strategic plan that really doesn't gain traction. And when we like ask questions of how successful has this been, it really needs to dive into all levels, from school committee, the district level, and into the schools and into the educators, because that's what it goes through. And then looking at, what are the metrics are we using to measure the success? But really keeping it simple to 3 to 5 objectives.
Yeah.
But we need the community's vision. So I really like this approach. And certainly having somebody that has implemented this in their own district with success, I think, is important. And that's, you know, you can always go out and there's a lot of outside consultants that do great things, but I want this to be relatable. And that's why we'll be working intimately with the launch of this. So then the footprint is, although we're receiving some assistance and some guidance, it's going to be our footprint on this, our stamp of approval as a district and as a community.
Sounds good.
How are you envisioning that you'll get the community members to participate? Because I think that's really important, because as good as the output, you have to have good input. And diverse input, too. I want to make sure that you...
That is Danvers School Superintendent Dan Bauer. The other voices from the school committee would be Alice Campbell and Eric Crane, with a couple of questions for the superintendent. Again, that all aired last night in Danvers on Danvers Community Access Television, and the entire meeting can be viewed there on YouTube. This is North Shore Today Extra on MSONewsSports.com.